This is Swing Talk Radio for July 26, 2016, live on CJRU 28 AM in Toronto, Canada. Swing Talk Radio is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Songwriters will be fresh newbies or established professionals. During the show, we share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Neil Modi, and joining me tonight are the super luscious members of the Swing Talk Radio action team. We got Barbecue Bruce. And care packages to feedback at songtalk.ca. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Songtalk Radio. And please subscribe to the Songtalk Radio podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and give us a review. Finally, don't forget to stop by our website at songtalk.ca. There you can listen to archives of the show, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and check out our resources for songwriters page. All sorts of great stuff on there. And you can also submit your song to become a guest on the show. And speaking of feedback,
Yeah.
our friend Michael to our show. We did a couple months back on court substitutions, and that's yeah, we started to talk about that sort of thing. We were happy, but we had some spice of variety.
We had a lot of friends. I think it was fun. I actually just found courts.
Yeah, we saw
that's beautiful. That's not our idea. We call that in search of the lost court. That's great. We saw that movie Blues reference.
Oh, good. Before you were born. I'm aware of the movie Blues. Society.
So I have a question about that. Is there a difference between a protest song and a movement song? So I'm thinking like the protest song, like, maybe Born in the Wind or
Shadow of a Time,
versus something like Rise Up on the Parachute Club, which I think that protest songs get taken on by a movement.
Right, yeah.
So there's the march, or there's the 60s, there were all these moments, various things. They would take on a protest song and say, this is our tune. And the civil rights movement, at least, which I would come, was a huge one for me.
I don't think the difference is that, like you're saying, the protest songs are inherently political. You know, they're about when they're against something. You know, they're anti-war, or they're anti, they're feminist, or they're anti, they're abolitionists. I'm sure that's all right.
So would you try and rise up as a protest song?
What is that? Thank you. because they appreciate men when they
do. Also, what was it? Was it the sound of freedom?
Was Bowling Green the protest song?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the wars were terrible. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, that was around that time, though, like the 60s was a time, I would say, where a lot of protest song comes up.
Well,
I mean, I didn't do a study on this, but if you look back through history, there were political music that's been used to start crowds since the beginning of music, like jazz houses.
And the album called Blue Stone Lining. And this song, I mean, I think what engaged me about this song was like, well, tell this thing. It's still, without this little podcast message, it's still a great, you know, really well constructed song, musically and melodically, and the chorus is pretty catchy, and it sticks with you. But the other thing I liked about it is what we were talking about before. It doesn't really hit you over the head with, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. It's just sort of a description of environmental problems. And the central metaphor of the river running red, like that's a very captivating and powerful message. But it's like we were saying, it's not that it's unclear what the metaphor is, it's pretty clear, but it's still pretty powerful message. So let's take a listen. Okay, that was River Runs Red by the band Midnight Oil. You're listening to Funk Up Radio on CJRU 1280 AM. Yeah, the question sticks with it, doesn't it?
I said a lot of it. I thought that Ishmael intro was a little bit long.
Yeah.
In terms of wanting, like, for a protest song, for someone that's so, and the lyrics are so important.
Yeah.
This is an album tune rather than a radio tune, so that's not very radio friendly.
Yeah, I don't know if that's all the same. I don't think it was.
So, anyway, it was really, I mean, they can't miss, I mean, it's not that they're silent at all. They're not hitting us over the head on how we should think. You know, there's a deep voice in the sky, you take it from the ground, you left nothing. You know, and all these things. But what I liked best about it was the imagery in the chorus, the river runs red. Black rain falls. I mean, those are so against nature. And dust in my hand. And all this happens on a bleeding land. So it's kind of like that thing where you take, what's it called? Let it cross you or something. You take like a feeling and a feeling and you give it to an object.
Yeah.
It's really objective corral. This is back in my
hands. I know, it's nice.
And you see it for 2 days, but an objective corral, it was like this sidewalk, the side of the medium. So it's a bleeding land. So it's kind of like this. The land is like a human. It's a being.
Well, that is a being. To me, there's a whole, I don't know if it's a movement, but it's at least an idea about this sort of Gaia hypothesis about the earth. I mean, it's kind of obvious. It's between two of them. It's one living being. You know, like another earth kind of thing. So to give it human quality is not such a stretch, but it kind of hits you emotionally, I think.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting that putting him in
a kind of fallacy.
There's thunder outside and you feel sad, and then there's objective corrective is when you're feeling that you ascribe a human
attribute
to a solid thing like the mountain side and the wind and the river stream as it came down. So I'm just saying that the image of the metaphor is very strong.
It's cinnamon.
And then that chorus is really cool. Yeah. So, that's all.
That's me.
Anybody else have any ideas about the song?
Not an idea necessarily, but it's just interesting to think about the point of view that a protest song is written. So, it could be written in the point of view of people that maybe are feeling oppressed or whatever. But it's also interesting to think about writing a protest song. They've always been a bit too So the chords are all the same. was kind of a beat part, which was actually something I was trying to do to the end of the song. And we made that up to the middle solo before the bridge comes. And then we also sort of changed the bridge, so that again, it's kind of a bridge. But again, all the chords are actually all the same motion at the bottom of the song, so we changed everything. Well, maybe a little bit of we actually recorded it a few times. We did some vocal overdubs. Is when you're writing a cultural song, you want to write something that, you know, is not going to be too big.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lines is, they get to watch. And one time, originally, it was their Cosby show. But we went to people got to hear, we wonder what the Cosby show was.
Right.
So there's some kids out there, I have no idea what the Cosby show was.
Absolutely.
So let me try the first vocal we did. We actually used the Sunday show. Mark doesn't like the Sunday show, I like the show. But we also thought that was kind of too specific. So we, again, we didn't want to dance too much. So we changed that to a reality show. It was an interesting thing to actually to think about the words that you don't want to dance the song too much.
Yeah, that's a good point. Customers are talking about your current situation. You know, it's 20 years from now, that's something you're lookable. You know, you're mind that things don't change, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay.
against her in the
back. It's a great song. You guys sounded really great.
Yeah, really tight.
Yeah.
And you guys have kind of covered everything here. It's interesting because it's actually a bit of an old song, you know. And then one of those, was a big that we actually replaced because, you know, we wanted
something
much more specific. We wanted it to be more general. So
the one was before.
Well, I'm not going to JM in the sub block.
Okay. That was very cool. You know, that to make the chorus stand out, you don't necessarily have to change the chord progressions. You can do it through arrangement. It went very staccato. And there was a slightly different melody on top of it. But that, the choruses really stood out really strongly. And that, I really like it. I really like the language in it. I like the blindness of it. I watch my TV, it makes me sick. I'm giving miseries to kids. You know, so it's very satirical, it's very pointed.
Yeah. Well, it's very much so in terms of a punk song, too.
And you know what I really like about this as a protest song? That there's a really good amount of sort of personal responsibility implication throughout this song. Like a lot of the stuff comes down to what individuals decide to do. It's about what media is feeding us, but also about how we respond to it.
Yes, because
when you're kind of zombies tearing at the tube. And I really like the final lines. I wish you guys would repeat that a couple times. Buy now, pay later. Buy now, pay forever. Like that to me kind of encapsulates the whole idea.
For a pop song, you want it to be fairly tight.
Yeah. You could do that once more. This reminds me of a Peter Gabriel song that's called Here Comes the Flood. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's a simple bass voice piano as well. And that's why I think that, again, that one is more metaphorical. And you could interpret it in a way that's a bit better, but that's why I always interpreted it as Here Comes the Flood of information that's kind of Canadian right now.
I
have three tunes we're talking about. This is one I chose. I was growing up in the 60s. I was in high school from 64 to 69. And most of the major movements started in the 60s. Most people know that. I don't know if I can tell you that. Well, I will tell you, but you know, it was everything started there, really. The women's movement, the black movement, the gay movement, the environmental movement, everything that was led to war, protest against the Vietnam War. And so I chose this song called Eve of Destruction. And it came out in 65, it was written in 64, and it's getting real up here. I found, it's by P.F. Sloan. This dude was a working songwriter at 13 in L.A. By 16, he was having his living trouble. At 19, here's his words. The song, Eve of Destruction, was written in the early morning hours between midnight and dawn in mid-1964. The song was one of five I wrote that evening. Three of the five became famous. He was 19 years old, and he had this weird experience. He was running down this line of almost being tuned into something. Or people all the haters in Red Russia. But this inner voice said, no, think about Red China. I was like, what? That's Red Russia. Russia's the enemy. And but how is he going to know by the end of the century, and the red tray would endure in crimes against humanity well into the next century.
Yes.
So he says his inner voice is inside each and every one of us, is drowned out by the roar of our minds. So listen to that inner voice. So this is a guy who's 19, he's up in the middle of the night, he's living with his parents, and he does this whole thing constantly. He's angry about the war, about hypocrisy and everything. And after this sort of tune, I'll tell you about what happened to him after the song was recorded. And it was recorded by, who's that? Barry McGuire. And both of them got kind of a smackdown from the public after that. So here's the song, it's called Even a Description by P.S. Song. Even Destruction by P.F. Stone, written in 1964, song and singing by Barry McGuire. And by listening to Front Row Radio on 1280 CJRU on the AM dial.
Well, it was something that I grew up with, and it wasn't on the air for very long because the day article of P.F. Stone died in 2015 at the age of 70. And there's an article I was able to find here, but they said that it created such a powerful backlash that the right-wing forces are
frustrated his downfall, according to Song. He says, Billboard magazine was pushing to get the song off the charts. Now his record label really helped cheat him out of this world, he said. So it was, the thing is, like, this is a badly established song, and it was a time where they were, shooting fire hoses at protesters. They were arresting people and throwing them a slimer if you burned your ground fire. I mean, it was a very, a lot of backlash, huge backlash going on, right, against this protest movement. But one of the interesting things that happened is that it says that this song was credited with the best of the 26th Amendment. I'm not sure which one, but signed into law in 1971, it lowered the voting age from 21 to 18. It talks about, you're old enough to vote, but not for voting. All right, so it lowered it to 18. And so anyway, what I'm really impressed about when I read this song again was that there is nothing on here that doesn't hold true in our world today. So it's in 1964. In 2016, is that like 70 years? 66 years?
It's 60 years.
It's a lot of years, right? The Eastern Wall is exploding. The Jordan River is exploding. The button was pushed. We're worried about Donald Trump having the code for the nuclear missiles. And integration is still, we've got a huge uprising of injustice in the black community happening in North America. That China did turn out to be the one that was the superpower to watch. And I don't know, I guess you could say that he just was angry and he said what he saw going on. And these were like eternal things. But the thing that made me really sad, as I was, that these things haven't changed really
at all. I think the way he articulates the chorus really exemplifies that, because he's talking about, you tell me over and over again that you don't believe that this is the event that starts on that. And there's the whole other side that keeps all these things up with acceptable.
Well, I think that's what the government of the day is trying to say, that we are fighting a just war, that people should stay in their place and they shouldn't be marching and all that, right? So that I think he's really, I guess the message really is to the silent majority with this stuff is bad, and how bad, they say somebody has to get bothered before they change it. How bad is it? What's it going to take? A nuclear holocaust?
What's interesting is, he did write this in 1964, and that was pretty, there's a lot of social movements at the time. But if you think of sort of the idea of the protest, 60s protest, or the work in the 67, 68,
well, 67 was, 68 was the burning of Detroit, was 67, also the summer of love.
When were the anti-Vietnam protests at its peak?
Late 60s.
68,
and into the 70s. No, it was certainly, for me, it was a very exciting, I kind of missed the energy of the 60s. I mean, there was so much protest in society at the time. It was exciting.
Marched down the streets with the Black Lives Matter and so on. And one thing that they said is that there was so much, there was a real belief that they could change things. And that they were, we just won't have a war. It was just that, in some ways it was kind of naive and kind of simplistic, but there was this real belief amongst a lot of the young people at the time that real fundamental change was quite easy. Not easy, but all the time.
Can one song
4 in the morning, he was 19 years old.
Legislation, immigration, disintegration, frustrating, and something around.
Thank you.